This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Dustin Yard and you're tuned into In the News, where we bring you all the major headlines from India and around the world. In today's podcast, we bring you all the latest from Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman's announcement to the media and how the markets reacted to those developments. Google became the latest tech giant to crack down on political ads. ISRO has rescheduled the launch of its third generation Earth observation satellite to November 27th. And lastly, the Indian cricket team get ready for their maiden plunge into the world of pink ball test cricket. Joining me on the podcast today, I have my colleagues Siddhesh Roth, Shraddha Sharma and Prakar Sachdev. The news of disinvestment of five central public sector enterprises failed to boost market sentiments on these companies. Well, Siddhesh, could you tell us to what extent the share prices of these PSUs fell?
Dustin, the markets did not react very favorably to the Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman's announcement yesterday concerning the disinvestment in these five central public sector enterprises or CPSEs. To give an idea, the top three companies or the most well-known companies out of these are Shipping Corporation and Container Corporation of India, or CONCOR, and BPCL, or the Bharat Petroleum Corporation Limited. So all of these PSUs fell to a certain extent. Looking at Shipping Corporation of India, the share price fell by 6.79% to 63.85 rupees per share. The Container Corporation of India fell by smaller amount, by around 0.52%, and its final closing price was at 575.15 rupees per share. And finally, BPCL, or the Bharat Petroleum Corporation Limited, fell by approximately 6%, and it fell to a closing price for today at 512.10 rupees per share.
Well, Siddhesh, you've given us an idea of the top three, but could you also give us the complete list of the companies being disinvested from?
The cabinet has given an in-principle approval for 53.2% disinvestment of its stake in Bharat Petroleum Corporation Limited, and this will be sold to a strategic buyer. However, one must note that BPCL's equity shareholding in its Numaligarh refinery, which is based in Assam, will not be a part of the disinvestment. The cabinet has also given an in-principle approval for the government's disinvestment of its stake in Shipping Corporation of India, which is about 63.75%. The 30.8% of its stake in the Container Corporation of India, the 74.23% of its stake in THDC, and its 100% of its stake in the Northeastern Electric Power Corporation Limited, or NEEPCO. One must also remember that management control of all these companies will also be handed over to the strategic buyer in this process.
Well, I guess that was just one part from the press conference, right, Siddhesh? What were the other highlights from the announcements made yesterday?
That's true, Dustin. The cabinet had also given their approval for several other things, and Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman had also made these announcements. The most important being that the cabinet has approved the deferring of the receipts which are due from telecom service providers for spectrum payments for a period of 2 years. So the 2 years which these spectrum payments will be deferred for will be from 2020 to 2021 and from 2021 to 2022. The cabinet has also given an approval for the import of 1.2 lakh metric tons of onions. As we all know that onions are, the prices of onions rather, are skyrocketing and definitely causing a lot of concern to households across India. The cabinet has also approved monetizing the projects, public projects that are under the National Highways Authority of India, which are operational and are collecting tolls from the last 1 year. And these are the projects rather that have been constructed under the TOT model. The cabinet has also authorized the NHAI to raise long-term funds from banks, and this is by securitizing the kind of toll collections or the user fee that it collects. One other thing is an update rather to a previous announcement which was related to the corporate income tax cuts. The cabinet had passed an ordinance earlier, and the Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman had said that the ordinance has been passed, and now it's actually also given a full-fledged approval. It's given a nod to the corporate income tax cuts to come in place. finally, there was an interesting development where a unified authority will be put in place for regulating all financial activities that is pertaining to the International Finance Service Center, or IFFC. A lot of the main regulatory bodies will be forming a board that will be taking charge of this unified authority. Key bodies include SEBI, the RBI, and the PFRB. They will constitute a board and vote for a chairman to come in place that will take care of this authority. So, in a nutshell, these are the most important announcements that were made by Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman yesterday.
Well, that was a comprehensive roundup, Siddesh. Thanks for all those updates.
Thank you, Dustin.
Google have become the latest tech giant to change their advertising policies ahead of major elections in both Britain and US. Well, Shraddha, could you give us an idea of all these changes that Google has ushered in?
So basically, Google will stop giving advertisers the ability to, you know, target ads using data such as public voter records and general political affiliations. Before this, they actually had this ability. And Google said it would limit audience targeting only to age, gender, and general location at a postal code level. So this is being done ahead of the US presidential elections that are coming in 2020 and the UK general elections on December 12th. It'll be actually enforced in the UK in the coming week. So this is what we know right now.
Shraddha, Google aren't the first to change their advertising policies, if I understand right. Didn't Twitter also make some changes in the recent past? And how similar are these changes to what Twitter implemented?
So Twitter basically said that it is a complete ban from political advertising. And it is actually only a change in policy in the front that Google has implemented. So in like Google advertising, you can still target. You can serving ads to people reading about a certain topic, but you can't use the voter data. So this is how it is different, while like Twitter actually banned it completely globally. So, and Scott Spencer, the vice president of product management for Google Ads, actually mentioned this in the blog that given the recent concerns and debates about political advertising, the importance of shared trust in the democratic process, we want to improve, you know, the confidence of voters in the political ads, and they want to that they see on the platform. So this is done in light of that.
Could we see Google's revenue take a hit from these changes in its advertising policy?
So, well, basically, a lot of political advertising, especially in India, if we talk about, is done on either Google or Facebook. And Twitter was like, you know, it was like a secondary thing that Twitter did. And if I'm not wrong, it's only around 2% of advertising revenue for Twitter that was that they got out of political advertising. But compared to Google, Google actually had a lot of revenue from political ads. So if, you know, advertisers actually shift the advertising platform because of this change, Google might actually lose some revenue, because Google has actually clarified that the policies for these political and non-political ads will actually prohibit doctored and manipulated media from the platform. So they will actually check ads for the correctness. On the other hand, while Facebook is actually facing a lot of pressure, we'll have to wait and see if Facebook actually implements the fact check for political ads.
Well, thanks for bringing us all the updates from that story, Shraddha.
Thank you, Dustin.
ISRO has rescheduled the launch of its third generation Earth observation satellite to November 27th. Well, Shraddha, what's the reason behind this delay and what was the original date here?
So, Dustin, Indian Space Research Agency has actually not given a reason for the delay, but it was November 25th and it was supposed to launch at 9:28 a.m. The time remains the same, but now the date becomes November 27th. The satellite is actually called Cartosat 3. As you rightly mentioned, it's the third generation Earth observation satellite. It basically means it takes Earth imaging and mapping, and it is developed by ISRO, as we said. And basically, it has the ability to take high resolution images. And adding to that, Dustin, it's the 74th launch from Sriharikota in Andhra Pradesh. And it'll be launched from the second launch pad of Satish Dhawan Space Center, is what we know.
Well, Shraddha, sticking to the space sector, there was also some talk about Chandrayaan in the Rajya Sabha today. Could you give us some more details about that?
Yeah, so Manas Ranjan Bhunia, AITC, actually asked that why the Chandrayaan mission failed in the Rajya Sabha. He asked that question. And, you know, to that, Dr. Jitendra Singh, Minister of Space, responded that it is really unfair to call it a failure. And there is no country in the world that has been successful to launch soft landing attempt in two attempts. Mm. So this was the discussion in the house today. And moving on to that, we also know that Chandrayaan 3, the work on Chandrayaan 3 is on. And as we heard last week, it'll be they have a deadline of November 2020. So there is a detailed analysis that ISRO is doing from the, you know, failure, if you can call it, and then attempting another launch.
That's interesting, Shraddha. Thanks for all those inputs.
Thank you, Dustin. But before we wrap it up, I just want to ask you if you are a space enthusiast. Because if you are, you can actually witness the launch of Cartosat 3 from Sriharikota. Mm. And you can register, which has already started from November 20th.
So where do I log on to register for this?
Just go to the ISRO website and you'll find the details.
India and Bangladesh gear up for the second test of their two-match series in what will also be the first day-night test to be held in India. Well, Prakar, could you give us the reason behind all the hype created ahead of this fixture?
Hi, Dustin. So, India and Bangladesh are gearing up for the first day-night test match, which is going to be played at Eden Gardens starting tomorrow. And there's a lot of buzz around it. The entire city of Kolkata has gone pink. BCCI is going at length to promote the test match. And it is going to be a very historic event because this is the, as you have just said in the intro, that it's going to be the first time that a day-night test match is going to be played in India. And very interestingly, the day-night test matches that are played, it is played with the pink ball. The test matches are generally played with the red cherry, the red-colored ball. When the floodlights take over, so to enable players to see the ball clearly, the color of the ball has been changed and it goes pink. The ball goes pink. Hence, you will see everywhere the match is being promoted as a day-night test or a pink ball test. And it is important from India's point of view because before that, all the major test-playing nations, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, England, Pakistan, and in fact, Zimbabwe, they've all played a day-night test. And with this match, India will also take a plunge into day-night test matches. And there's a lot of buzz around.
Well, Prakar, seeing that it's a big change in the format, how different will the conditions be for the players?
So it's interesting. Day-night test will start at around 1. And it will be played for 8 hours. And it will get over by 8 o'clock in the night. So the final session of a day, it is going to be played completely under lights. That is one of the changes that you will see. And the second change that I already told you, that it's going to be played with a pink ball. Very interestingly, Virat Kohli said that while the Team India was practicing with the pink ball, it felt a bit heavier.
Okay.
And thirdly, their Eden Garden is notorious for its dew factor. With the evening setting in, there will be a lot of dew. So the players are not sure how the dew factor will come in and how it will affect the batting, how it will affect the bowling. Because once the ball gets wet, it becomes very difficult for the pacers. It becomes very difficult for spinners to grip the ball. And this being the first time that Indian players will play a pink ball test, so they are not kind of sure what they can expect. So these are the differences from a traditional day match.
Well, Prakar, it looks like all these changes have been implemented with a view to promote test cricket further among the crowds. How have the audiences responded to these changes? And does this mean we'll see some more day-night tests in the near future?
Well, people of Kolkata have taken this day-night test matches and they are excited about it. And that shows from the fact that the first 4 days of the test matches, the tickets have been sold out. That is, it is according to BCCI President Sourav Ganguly. So, and there's a lot of buzz around it. It's trending on Twitter as of now. So we can expect people tuning in after they... So the timings of the test matches will suit people. Once they get back home after their day's work, they will be able to switch on to their TV sets and switch on to social media platforms as well and OTT platforms and watch cricket, which generally doesn't happen when a test match is being played in a 9-6 slot. So yes, there is a lot of buzz around it. And as far as your second question goes, if we will see more of a day-night test matches, very interestingly, Virat Kohli in today's press conference has said that let this day-night test match be one-off experiment and let this not be a regular thing. Now, this shows that Virat Kohli is ready to make this day-night test a regular fixture in India's test calendar, unlike what is happening in Australia. In Australia, every test match in the season, one test match is slated as a day-night test matches. But with Virat Kohli saying that this being a one-off test match and this being an experimental kind of thing, not sure if we will see another day-night test match being played.
Well, thanks for all these updates, Prakar. And to all our listeners who want a more in-depth analysis of this second test, you can tune into our On The Ball podcast, where we have Prakar speaking to cricket expert Gaurav Kalra.
And now a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
Well, that brings us to the end of this segment of In The News. If you have any comments or queries, feel free to email us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and other updates, stay tuned to Money Control. Thanks for listening.